Hallelujah. Tonight, you know, we're sharing. How many know the Word of God is living? It's active. The Word of God is no dead book. The Word of God is alive. Amen. Quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen. How many in this place are expecting God to speak to you tonight? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, if you turn to Exodus chapter 15, we're going to begin there in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. And then when we leave Exodus, we'll be headed to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Tonight's message is entitled, When God is Not Faithful. When God is not faithful. Now, you're all looking at me like I'm a nut. I get it. I get it. Because that is I deserve that look. I deserve that look. God is always faithful. In fact, there's never been a time when he has not been faithful. But you also know I'm right about it. There are times in all of our lives when we go through things, situations, circumstances, when it seems like God is not faithful. And these are critical times in the lives of every believer. Because if through trial or circumstance or through some trick of the enemy, if the enemy can trick us into thinking that God is somehow not faithful, that there are times when God is not faithful or that he's faithful to everybody else, but he's not faithful to you. That's going to be a turning point in our relationship with Christ, because anytime we begin to judge God as not being faithful, then we'll back up in our commitment to him. Why would we give our all when we feel like God's not being faithful? Cognitively, you're right. You say, well, brother, we know God is always faithful. That's my point. God is always faithful. My underlying premise is that he's never been unfaithful. And it should be ridiculous when the thought comes to our mind, no matter what we're going through, that somehow God is not being faithful. But no doubt if I passed a microphone around tonight, we could all testify there have been times when it looked like, when it seemed like. And sometimes just during those times when it looks like he's not faithful, when it seems like people start backing up on their commitment when it just looked like he's not faithful. You can't get folk to go to church when it just seemed like he's not faithful. And they can know in the back of their mind, somehow they know God is faithful. But experientially, I'm going through something, someone says. I'm going through something in my human experience that makes it seem like you're not faithful. And the fact that it seems like you're not faithful sometimes is enough to cause a Christian to back up in their relationship with Christ. But it really doesn't matter what it looks like. It really doesn't matter what you're going through. I came to tell you tonight, God is always faithful. So that title, that is my title, When God is Not Faithful. But that is just to grab your attention and to make the point that there has never been a time. If God is not faithful, listen, my brother and sister, you'd be the first person who ever lived that God hadn't been faithful to. Anybody here, you were going through something and you thought, man, Lord, you haven't been faithful to me. Anybody ever been there or just me? Yeah. I remember one time, you know, my car ran out of gas in Richmond, Virginia, down on Broad Street. Broad Street there in Richmond, at least at that time, was like Memorial Avenue. It's one of the busiest streets in Richmond at that time was Broad Street. My car ran out of gas on Broad Street. And I was so embarrassed and humiliated because I had prayed. I prayed every way. I could pray in English. I prayed in the spirit. I prayed solemnly. I prayed fervently that my car would not run out of gas. And I got behind the wheel of that 63 Falcon, and the needle was behind E. And I was praying that God would get my car, because I had to go and I didn't have any more money, and I was getting paid that day, and I had to go down to the district office and get my paycheck, and then I had to make it to the Sovereign Bank, and then I had to make it to the gas station. My car was on, but the needle was behind the E. But I prayed, I was expecting a miracle, and my car ran out of gas smack dab in the middle of Broad Street. And I'm gonna tell you, in my mind, I blame God. Because I said, God, you know, I prayed about this thing. You know, before I ever left my apartment, I prayed. I asked you to get me there. And somehow I just thought you was going to get me there. And I was believing. And you let me down. You let me run out of gas. I'm down here on Broad Street all embarrassed. Cars are honking at me. I'm blocking traffic. You haven't been faithful. Oh, I'm going to testify on myself tonight. You don't want me testifying about you. Is that all right? You know, I said, Lord, you haven't been faithful to me. And see, I was basing on my experience. See, the previous month, exactly 1 month before my car ran out of gas, I was in the same exact situation. Same exact situation. Was out of money. It was the end of the month. Back then I worked for a Christian ministry. I worked for a Christian campus ministry, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And I didn't get paid. I really wasn't making that much money, but I got paid once a month. And I was the month before, I was in the same exact situation. Needed to go, and my paycheck was waiting at the district office. The car, the needle on the gas tank was behind the E. And I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I prayed solemnly. I prayed fervently the month before. Got in that 63 Falcon and headed down 95, exited down there off Broad Street. And man, the car was running. The car ran all the way to the district office. I shouted hallelujah. Yeah. Got out and I thought, man, if this car starts, I know there ain't a drop of gas in it. I don't know about your car, but I knew my 63 Falcon. You know, today the cars will count you down. You know, they'll count you down how many miles you got. But back then, I was counting myself. I knew my Falcon. That needle was behind the E in that 63 Falcon. And when I got to the district office, I shouted hallelujah. I thought that was a miracle. And before I got in the car, I prayed in the spirit some more. And I said, Father God, this thing's got to start back up. I got to get to the sovereign bank to cash this check. I thought if it starts, it'll be a miracle. That 63 Falcon, boom. I said, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. This is the month before. The month before I judged him unfaithful. That Falcon fired up. I headed to the sovereign bank, cashed my check. I said, Father, I need a miracle for this car to start again so I can get to the next gas. I'm not going to a specialized gas station. I'm going to anything with a pump. Just asking you to get me there. And that 63 Falcon fired up again. I said, hallelujah. And I headed out, had cash in hand, made it to the sovereign bank, had cash on hand. I'm looking for anything with a pump. And I could see it in the distance. There's a pump coming. All of a sudden, kaboom, the car ran out of gas. But I had enough momentum, I coasted up to the gas station. The God's honest truth, I coasted right up to the gas station. I had enough momentum to turn that Falcon, it didn't have power steering, no way, but especially when the power went away from it, it was really hard to turn. I turned that thing right up and turn it again, right up to the gas, to the island, the little island, you know, I'll never forget, there was a man on the other side of the island, and he looked back as if to say, ooh, that car is quiet. It was quiet, all right, because it wasn't running. It was out of gas. I coasted to that pump. That car was out. I just turned the thing off. Put it in park, but that thing was out of gas. I coasted to the pump. And I said, Father, you are a miracle working God. And so the next month, I was in the same position, prayed the same way, but ran out of gas and judged God unfaithful. I said, you did it for me last month, and you didn't do it this month. I was standing in faith. When I listened for the Lord to talk to me, I got crickets. You ever go to talk to the Lord and get crickets? Yeah. But when I settled down and had a better attitude about it, the Lord started talking to me. You know what he told me? He said, I blessed you the previous month, but that wasn't faith. That was my mercy. You have a budget, and I'm not going to budget your money for you. You spent all your money on campus with students, buying students lunches and buying your lunch, and you didn't have the money to do that. And the Lord told me, I'm not going to come down here and manage your finances. I'm not going to create a budget and make you follow it. You're going to have to do that. And then the Lord told me, and then you followed that same foolish plan. I had mercy on you the first month. Then you decided to follow that same foolish plan the second month. But then you judge me unfaithful. When you were the one who was unfaithful, you were unfaithful to plan. You were unfaithful to prepare. You were unfaithful to budget. Oh, I can't get no amen teaching like this. I'm going to need an amen from the pastoral section tonight. I can see I ain't getting no amen. It wasn't God who was unfaithful. It was me. And when we get to the point where we think that somehow God has been unfaithful, oh, then the enemy puts us in his crosshairs. And he starts saying, well, you remember what happened to Aunt Susie, and you remember what happened to your mama, and God didn't do this, and God didn't do that. And if you listen to that nonsense, he'll put a wedge between you and your father. I hope somebody will hear me tonight. What scripture did I tell you to go to? Did you read the scripture yet? Y'all was supposed to read that scripture on your own. That was a silent reading. No, no, no. No, I told you to go to what, Exodus 15? Exodus 15. Okay, Exodus 15 at verse 22. Exodus 15, 22. We're talking about the faithfulness of God tonight. Exodus 15, 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And so the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Here, Israel had a problem. And their problem was that they had not learned how to gauge, how to judge, if you will, the faithfulness of God. When you think about this incredible story, God had just delivered them from Egypt's hand. He had promised them that he would deliver them. And God came through on his promise. After 10 plagues, they marched out of Egypt. And then once they got out, God expected them to then judge his faithfulness. He expected Israel to say, there may not be any water here. This may be a desert. It may look like 2.5 million of us are going down for our last time. It may look like we're not coming up for air again. It may look like this is where we're going to be buried. But God is our God, and God is a faithful God, and God is true to his word. And God promised to bring us out, not take us down. And God said we'd be the head and not the tail. God said we're going over and not under. And because he's faithful, we don't know how he's going to do it. We just trust that he is going to do it. God expected them to judge his faithfulness. They should have gone from those thoughts of God's faithfulness to just worshiping him, just blessing his name. Like Paul and Silas over there, Acts 25, you've read that story many times, how they were in prayer. They had learned this. God, he's a faithful God. And most especially, when it seems like he's not being faithful. Oh, that's when to remind yourself that God is a faithful God, that he's faithful to you. That's when you have. And then they took off. Paul and Silas took off singing till an earthquake hit that prison. But they knew, hey, come hell, come high water, God's a faithful God. God will get us out. God will deliver us. And if he doesn't, we're still going to serve him. And they said, there's no way. God is a faithful God. And we're just convinced about it. We're going to sing about it. What are you trying to say? I'm saying God, he's faithful to you. And there's never been a situation in your life where he has not been faithful. And here Israel had a problem. They had a problem judging his faithfulness. Go with me over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Where did I tell you to go? Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. Really 7 through 9, but for the sake of time, 9 is our target scripture where we're going. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. And if I could make this point, as we share this scripture, God is faithful to his people. If I could make the point like that. God is faithful to his people. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore, the Lord is talking here about his promise to Israel of the promised land. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. I like that. God said, you better know this, be assured of this fact, that the Lord your God, he is God and he's the faithful God. Yeah. And when you read that whole chapter, he tells Israel, he says, I chose you. You were the least. I didn't choose you because you were the best and you had everything. God says, I chose you. You had nothing. You were the least. But I chose you as my people. And he said, because I chose you, I'm going to establish you. I'm going to bless you. I've given you an inheritance. And let me tell you this. And so we know this. We know this. God said, I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And you read that chapter 6 and 7. You see how God identifies Israel as his chosen people. When you slip over into the New Testament, he identifies the body of Christ. So whether you're the nation of Israel or whether you are in the body of Christ, if you are in Christ tonight, if you are in him, then you are God's chosen daughter. You are God's chosen son. God loves everybody. He loves every people group. He sent his son to die for everyone. But let me tell you, you're in a special category tonight if you are in him. If you're a member of the body of Christ, of the ecclesia. So what's your point? God is faithful to his people. He's faithful to his people. Let's slip over to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. What's your point here, brother? God is faithful to his people. He said, I'm the faithful God. He said, I'm God. He said, I'm the faithful God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, over in the New Testament we're going now. We're talking about God's faithfulness. God's been faithful to you. You say, well, God hadn't been faithful to me. Listen, let me say this to you. There could be any number of things that have gone wrong. But whatever has gone wrong, the problem is on your end, not on God's end. Can I humbly say it to you that way? The problem is not on God's end, because God is a faithful God. And what he says, he will do. I said, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yeah, he called us into fellowship with the Lord Jesus. That's why we're in him. We're in Christ. All of our redemptive realities. Thank God. How many glad for your redemptive realities? How many glad to be in Christ tonight? Well, let me tell you, because you are in Christ, God, he is faithful. He is faithful to his people. Let me tell you, God blesses people. He helps people. He answers prayer. People who are not even covenanted with him. But he is especially faithful with his people. And the scripture says, God, he is faithful. He's a faithful God. So if something has gone wrong, where oftentimes we make a mistake, my brother and sister, is we want to judge God's faithfulness in the light of our own experience. Did you hear what I said there? We make a mistake when we try to judge his faithfulness in the light of our own experience. Now, I know you're sincere and I'm sincere. And when I ran out of gas, I was just as sincere as I wanted to be. But I was trying to judge God's faithfulness based on my human experience. His faithfulness can only be measured by his word. I said, let the word determine what your experience is. Don't let your experience determine what the word is. You say, you're playing tricks with words. No, I'm not playing I'm not playing semantics with you. Some people, the enemy builds a wedge between them and God because experientially, they don't experience something. They think, well, God's not been faithful, or see, that's not true. So then, because they think that that's not true, then they lose sight of God or touch with God or hold of God in that area of their faith or in their trust and reliance upon the Lord. And so we've never been called to let our experience be the guide for what his word says. It's like somebody told me in my office, said, well, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw such and such. And I said, well, I just took my Bible and turned to a scripture. And I said, well, the word of God says just the exact opposite of what you said in your dream. So guess what? Your dream means nothing. Your dream don't mean 2 cents worth of nothing. Just forget it. Might have been too much pizza. Might have been that tuna sandwich you had. I don't know what it was. But just forget it. Because right here, I give you chapter and verse. It goes again. The person said, well, the person read it. Said, well, I see it in the word, but my dream seems so real. I said, I don't care how real your dreams seem. The Bible says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He's a deceiver. Deception is one of his main tricks. Said, I don't care how real your dreams seem. I got Bible. I got chapter and verse. Let it go. Stick with the word. You'll go wrong trying to let your experience define the word. Let the word define your experience. The word says that experience ain't right. Your dream ain't right. Your dream jacked up. But person said they knew through the dream they're leaving their husband and he's a good man. They're leaving him, a Christian man. I said, oh no, you just want to do what you want to do and you're looking for an excuse. But if you would let the word define your experience instead of letting your experience define the word, you wouldn't get off track. I said, you're going to get led right off track. Woo! Y'all slowing me down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God is faithful to his people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 24. Faithful. Everybody say faithful. Faithful. Yeah. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. I said, I like that scripture. I said, what God says he will do, he will do. So sometimes the problem is that we're trying to define our experience in light of the word instead of letting the word define our experience, the correctness of our experience. And sometimes that's where we go wrong. But I tell you, sometimes we go wrong in a sense of timing. We get out of God's timing. That is that we might have the right idea, the right thoughts from the Lord about what he wants to do, but we might be outside of his timing. And I tell you, if we'll just wait on him and get in his timing. I said, amen. Sometimes it's a timing issue. I remember when I was in school, Brother Keith Moore, he said he was teaching us as students. He said he was believing God for a Buick Riviera. He said a Buick Riviera. And he said that he was believing the Lord for that Buick Riviera by a certain date. And he said, but that date came, that hour came, and no Buick Riviera. And he said he went to ask the Lord about it. Lord, what happened? I was believing you. I was trusting you. He said, the Lord spoke to him, told him, you were trusting me all right, but you put me in a box. You tried to put me in your box on your timetable. And the Lord said, you know, if you had just kept the switch of faith turned on, if you just keep the switch of faith turned on, that blessing was right around the corner. Amen. You were just outside of my timetable, but if you had kept the switch of faith turned on, ooh, I'm speaking to somebody in here. I said, whatever you're expecting, and it may not have happened in your body yet, but you'll keep the switch of faith turned on. I said, amen. Amen. I said, you're trusting God for some blessing, for some financial miracle. Listen, if you'll keep the switch of faith turned on. I was ushering the night Keith Moore pulled up in that Buick Riviera. He said he got right back in faith on that thing. He pulled up, that thing was a beautiful car. It all kind of touch button. One of the first cars with a touch button screen. You could touch the button on the screen and turn the heat up and down. But I said, if you'll stay in faith and stop trying to put God in your box, sometimes our problem is that we're outside his timing. And sometimes our problem is that we've just missed it. Oh, preacher, please don't go there. Preacher, please. Listen, we are all human. And while we're in this human body, and thank God for the times when we get it right, when we hear the Lord right. But how many know we could all miss it potentially? Anybody here and you can never miss it? Your name would have to be Jesus. No, listen. Now, thank God we have the Holy Ghost. Thank God we have the Word. We have the rails to keep us on the track. If we just stay on the track, if we just stay with the rail, you know, stay with the Word and follow the leading of the Spirit, we can stay on the track. And thank God, God is faithful that even if we make a mistake, he can get us back on track. I said, when we're humble about it, just like you snapped your finger, God can get us back on track. I said, I wish I had an amen there. And so maybe you made a mistake. If you did, just admit it, just repent and keep going. Be humble about that thing. But sometimes people say, well, I ain't going to admit nothing. I ain't admitting I made a mistake. I ain't admitting nothing. Well, guess what? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. If God said it, God will do it. If God said it, ultimately it will come to pass. I said, amen. But see, if we missed it a little bit, then we just need to back up and say, well, Lord, you know, I missed it there. I'm sorry. I missed it there. But the Bible says here, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. I said, God, he will bring what he promised you. He will show enough, bring it to pass. But we got to keep the switch of faith turned on. I said, amen. Go with me to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're running now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11, or 11 and 12, 11 and 12, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It's a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Look at 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. I like that. The Passion Translation, verse 13 in the Passion Translation, the end of it says, he never wavers in his faithfulness to us. Think about that. God never wavers in his faithfulness to us. I remember my little grandson, he was real small, and we were going to the store and we were walking, and I told him, you know, now look, when we get close to that street, now you got to listen to Papa, and that's not a time to play, and we hold hands, and we walk across the street, no play, and it's very serious. And he said, okay, Papa, okay. As soon as we got toward the street, he saw something that distracted him. And I felt him when he let go of my hand. But you know what I did? I grabbed his hand tighter. And that's exactly how God is with you. I said, I wish I had an amen. I said, you may have loosened your grip a little bit, but God grabbed you tighter. God said, where are you going? You ain't going nowhere. Where do you think you're going? You ain't going nowhere. You're mine. I called you by name. Ask Peter about it when you get to heaven. Peter was walking on the water, started sinking. That water started splashing. The wind started splashing. And that joker started sinking. And what did God? Jesus reached out and grabbed him. He said, you ain't going nowhere, Peter. I'm a faithful God. I'm faithful to provide. I said, amen. I said, our God, he's a faithful God. And he is faithful. He is faithful to his people. Look, let's look real quick. He's faithful to his people. Go with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. He's not only faithful to his people. Let me tell you this. He's faithful to his promises. I said, he's faithful to his people, all right, but he's faithful to his promises. Hebrews 10, 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I like that. Said he who promised is faithful. And when God promises something, he's faithful to bring it to pass. Now, we may have to check up on ourselves. We may have to check up on our timing. We may have to check up and make sure we heard from God. But let me tell you this. If God said it, God will bring it to pass. And it may not look like it's going to happen. It may not look like it's ever going to happen. Somebody may tell you, well, you ain't going to ever make it. You ain't going to ever do this. But God spoke something to you. God will bring it to pass. I said, he's faithful. I said, you can count on him. He's faithful. Hebrews 11, 11. Turn over to the next chapter. That's Hebrews 10, 23. I said, God is faithful to his people. Number one, we went through scriptures there. God's faithful to his people. What are we talking about now? God's faithful to his promises. I said, he's faithful to his promises. Hebrews 11, 11, talking about Sarah. The scripture says here, by faith, Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. She realized that God made her a promise, and she realized she didn't know how God was going to fulfill that particular promise, but she knew this, God, you're a faithful God, and you'll bring it to pass all by yourself. You don't need my help. I don't have to have it figured out. You're a faithful God. I said, amen. I said, so many times I've testified about my house, the house I sold, and it took 8 months to sell that house. And it looked at time. I'm showing the house every week, but didn't get one offer on it. 8 months. I'm confessing and believing, but the roof, I told you that, the roof needed to be replaced. But the Lord had told me something. He said, you're going to sell this house, and I'm going to replace that roof, but you're going to speak to it in faith. And every day I went out and every day I came into my garage, I spoke to that roof. And I told you, initially, I was bombarded with thoughts. How are you going? The roof eventually cost $24,000 to replace. And it wasn't covered by my insurance. My insurance dropped. They didn't drop the house. They dropped the roof because it was a wood shake roof, wood shingle, fire hazard now in today's standards. It's a very expensive roof, but it's a fire hazard. It's all wood. And they said, we can't cover it anymore. Your house is covered, but not your roof. And the Lord told me, you already know what to do. Find a promise from my word that applies to your roof and get it in your heart and get your mouth to moving. And I told you, when I started speaking to that roof, it seemed like the roof spoke back to me. He said, you ain't got the money. Where are you coming up with $24,000? But the Lord reminded me, I'm faithful. My faithfulness isn't based upon what's in your bank account. I wish I had an amen here. My faithfulness is not based upon how your body feels tonight. My faithfulness is not based upon the problem that you're going through on your job. My faithfulness is not based upon the trouble you're experiencing in your family. My faithfulness is not based upon anything that you have or don't have experientially. God says, I'm God all by myself. I don't need your help to bless you. And I started saying, I don't have to know where the money's coming from. I just know God's going to do it. It's already done. I already see the roof up there. I pull in a driveway. Thank you. I see a beautiful roof up there. To the day my insurance agent called and said, I got a brand new insurance product. Just got it in that I can sell. And he said, then I can only give it to a few customers. They have to meet the certain criteria, being long-time customers. He said, you've been with me for a long time. Have little or no claims. He said, you've had no claims. He said, and then you got to pay your premiums. You've paid all your premiums. He said, I already moved all of your account, your cars and your home. I already moved it all over there. I said, yeah, I appreciate that. He said, you're going to pay less for your. I said, I appreciate it all. What about my roof? He said, oh, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Your roof is covered. Overnight, just like that. I said, just like that, God knows how to provide for you. I said, it may look like you going down. You don't know what God's going to do, but just like that, God can take care of your situation. I said, just like that, God can change things on your job. I said, just like that, God can provide for you things that it would bust your mind wide open trying to figure out how God is going to provide for you. But just like that, God's got the power to do it. I said, he's an awesome and faithful God, and he don't need nobody else. He don't need your help. What he needs you to do is to believe him and to trust him and to claim it and to sing to him and to praise him and to speak of his goodness and to tell him about his faithfulness and tell him you've never let me down and you're not going to let me down. Hey, you're not going to let me down this time because you are faithful. You're faithful to heal. You're faithful to deliver. You're faithful to provide. Hey, you're faithful to comfort in the middle of the night. I said, he's faithful. And you say, well, brother, I'm going through trials and tribulations. Listen, let me close with this. Look, God is faithful to his people. He is faithful to his promises. But let me tell you this, God is faithful in the hard places. When you and I find ourselves in a hard place, God is faithful. I said, he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to you in a hard place. Go with me real quick. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. God is faithful. You might be in a hard place tonight. You might be going through a tough time, a tough situation. But I came here to let you know that God is faithful. If you'll hang on in there, keep believing and trusting the Lord. Don't let the enemy discourage you. Just continue to rejoice in the Lord and trust his word and quote his promises. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for the testing, for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Look at verse 15. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. 16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. 19. We're in 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Yeah. I said, if you entrust yourself to the faithful God, he is faithful when we go through hard times in the hard places. Over in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will also with the temptation make a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. You're going through a time of testing and tempting. God is faithful. I said he'll make a way of escape. But let me say this. He's faithful in this scripture here, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He's faithful to his word. And the way of escape is always found through his word. Yeah. I said, you say, I'm being tempted, brother. I don't find any way of escape. Well, you then get your head in the book. Get in the word. Because God will provide a way of escape for you through his word. Amen. And then, you know, 1 John 1:9, somebody says, well, I already made a mistake. Aren't you glad for 1 John 1:9, our spiritual bar of soap as a Christian? Yeah, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us. You say, well, I don't feel forgiven. If you sincerely ask God to forgive you, it doesn't matter how you feel. The Bible said he's faithful and just to forgive us. The Bible said he's faithful and just to forgive us. And his faithfulness is greater than the condition of your heart. Whatever you need tonight, whatever you're going through, I don't know, my brother and sister, but I do know this, our Heavenly Father is faithful. And I do know this, if you allow yourself to be self-deceived or you allow the enemy to chime in and make you think that God has somehow not been faithful to you, then you'll find less reason to serve God. You'll find less passion to serve him with. You'll find less sincerity with which to serve him when you judge him as not faithful to you. Oh, but no matter what you're going through tonight, the Lord told me to tell you this, no matter what you're facing tonight, if you'll rise with the promises of his word, 2 Peter 1:4, whereby have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you'll rise with the promises of God coming from your heart and out of your mouth, God said there won't be anything that he won't accomplish for you. What is it that you need God to do for you? You've got to first judge him as faithful. You've got to first say, hey, he's never lost a case. He's never forgotten about it. His child. He said, look, I've counted every hair on your head because I'm faithful. You ever read Psalm 139? We're fearfully, wonderfully made. He knew you in your mama's womb because he's faithful. He said, I've counted every step you've taken today. But the problem is you haven't taken all your steps. You don't know how many steps you've taken. But God knows because he's faithful. God said, a sparrow can't fall to the ground unless I know about it. And by the way, I feed every sparrow. Why? He's faithful. He said, if I feed a bird, won't I feed you? Yes, I'll feed you. Why? Because I'm faithful. I said, if you'll obey his word and if you'll keep his word coming out of your mouth and if you'll judge him as faithful, no matter what your experience is, no matter what your human condition is, no matter how your body feels, no matter what your bank account says, if you'll judge him as faithful, God will come through for you. Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored to share what you gave us for tonight and we trust you. You're such an awesome God. But one of your attributes, your divine attribute, is that you are faithful. You are completely trustworthy. You are completely 100% dependable. In fact, Father, there's nobody with a track record like you. You've got a 100% track record, and we judge you faithful on tonight. And so somewhere across this auditorium, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're hurting tonight. You've been going through this faithfulness thing with God. You've been thinking about, man, maybe God's not been faithful to me. Every head is bowed in here except for mine. Every head is bowed. Let me see your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come down here, but I want, who's God talking to tonight? Lift your hand. You know you've been dealing with questions about the faithfulness. Yes, just all over. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Well, you just obey God tonight because he's speaking to you and he's encouraging you. And you may have to be like me. You may have to change your perspective. You may have to change how you're worshiping, you know, and keep your joy, whatever. You may have to change. You may have to repent for having the wrong notion about God. Whatever it is, just get that right in your heart with the Lord, because God's got awesome things in store for you. Make sure you heard him right. make sure you're clear on the word. Make sure if you got a rhema word from God, make sure you understood that right. Don't take it out of perspective. But judge him faithful. Call him faithful. Sing of his faithfulness. Talk about his faithfulness. Even before you receive, especially before you receive, speak of his faithfulness. Think about his faithfulness. Talk about his faithfulness. Let faithfulness resound off of your tongue in song and hymns, spiritual songs. Father, thank you for helping your people tonight. Thank you for strengthening your people in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for ministering to every need tonight. Thank you, Father God. You're an awesome, faithful God, and you see us through to 1,000 generations, and we thank you for it. We'll give you all the glory now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our brothers and sisters, these anointed men and women are coming here. They're coming up here to pray with you. And you might need prayer for something. You want to be saved tonight, come down here. You want to be rededicated to the Lord, come down here. You want to be filled with the Spirit, come down here. You got some things you want to pray and get right in your heart about the faithfulness of God, come down here. If you're a lady, come over here to the ladies. If you're a guy, just come over to the guy. That's all we ask. And God will minister to you. I challenge you to think about the faithfulness of God tonight and into tomorrow, this week. Think about how good God's been to you. I challenge you to think about his faithfulness to you down through the years. I challenge you to go back in your own mind's eye and remember what life was like experientially for you when God came through, when God did it, when God opened the door, when God provided the job, when God put the roof over your head, when God put that bread on the table, when God touched your body. I challenge you, go back over this week and remind yourself and meditate on God's faithfulness. I'm not talking to your neighbor, his faithfulness to you. When you found out he's a way maker, when you found out he's a door opener, when you found out he's a need meter. I challenge you to meditate and get your heart full concerning God's faithfulness. And as you do that, for somebody, healing is going to flow through to you. Other blessings are going to flow, because when you start judging God as unfaithful, you clog up the pipeline and you hinder God's ability to help you. So those of you who are here tonight and it was your first time, did we have anybody like that? Was there somebody here? No. So we're all family tonight. All right. Well, we've given you the instruction on prayer. You need prayer. Now come on forward and these folks will help you. Stand on your feet, my brother and sister. Father, we're grateful tonight. Protect us all as we go. Protect all of those in Oklahoma City. Keep us all safe till we see each other again. Father, we judge you as faithful. You are 100% faithful. You're the faithful God. You're faithful to provide, faithful to heal, faithful, Father God, in all of your ways. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you this week as you serve your faithful Heavenly Father. You are dismissed.